Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Finding someone who shares your values in today's culture isn't easy, and being single around the holidays isn't easy either. That's why Catholic Singles created a website and app where single Catholics can meet and get to know each other that focuses on values, activities, and interests. For over two decades, Catholic Singles has been fostering deep relationships because your faith matters. Start today at CatholicSingles.com. That's CatholicSingles.com.
Ignatius Press is pleased to announce the first national book club created for Catholic schools. Ignatius Book Club for Catholic Schools was launched to support Catholic schools' dedication to forming the whole child, mind, body, and spirit. Ignatius Book Club for Schools partnered with leading publishers of children's literature to offer the best books and educational materials for all reading levels and interests. Head to ignatiusbookclub.com/podcast and find wholesome books that delight, inspire, and enrich.
Fired up and ready to start the week. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live Monday edition, and it's a good one. We got a whole bunch of pro-life high school students in the building today. That's fun. Maybe they'll come by and ask some questions. They're getting a tour. They got a chance to chat with and hear from Trent Horn for about an hour today. That's all to the good. And so, but there was a limit to how long they could have with Trent because we needed him here. Trent Horn is our guest both hours today. Our format today will be a pro-life open forum where we will discuss pro-life issues for both hours. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you don't know Trent, well, he's the author of Persuasive Pro-Life, so he's a good person for them to talk to. But he also started out his whole kind of life of public service doing apologetics, pro-life apologetics, helping people understand the pro-life cause and maybe overcome their objections to loving and protecting life and human life in all its various stages. He's also the author, most recently, of Made This Way: How to Prepare Kids to Face Today's Tough Moral Issues. That is a collaborative effort with Layla Miller. Trent, hi.
Hello, Cy.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you as well.
How are you at trivia?
You know, I think I'm good. Maybe you know more than I do, but I guess I am an average trivia person, so
no,
depending
on
how well we did.
I don't think that that is the case, that you are average. I think, oh, there's all the pro-life students. Hi, everybody. Thanks for coming in.
I'm really good at trivia when the questions are fair.
Oh, that's just terrible.
I didn't say
I was. We played, just so the listener will know, but this is not utter nonsense on our part. We played Catholic Answers trivia over the weekend and with tables full of Catholic Answers folks and friends of Catholic Answers. And like Tim Staples was at one of the tables. Father Hugh Barber's one of the tables. Carlo Broussard. So and you're at one.
Yeah. So we have the different tables.
Yeah.
And this is for a certain group of supporters of the apostolate that we get together here on a weekend in San Diego. And it's kind of a capstone for Saturday night after dinner. Each of our tables is pitted against one another. It was
pitted,
and basically pub trivia style, which was nice because that's a kind of trivia that I am used to. I used to go to pub trivia quite often, at least, you know, a year or two ago.
Before the second baby came?
Right. Then the nights are slowly closing in on me. So, but you go and you know, a question is read aloud, because in pub trivia, a question gets read aloud. You write down, you know, your answer. You wager, you know, based on a category. You wager, you write down an answer. Well, I think the pub trivia I do is no wagering. You just write the answer, you get it or not. Run it up, and then you see which tables do well or not. But this one was basically pub trivia, Catholic trivia. So catechism, ritual symbol doctrine, people, popes, patron saints, and
pious people.
Pious people. And, of course, the most Catholic of all, et cetera.
Et cetera. Yeah.
Which is Latin. So if it's Latin, it's got to be Catholic. So we did that. And I think my table did decently well. But some, you know.
You did very well.
I'll tell you, it's stressful, Cy, because we get there and my table is saying, don't worry, we've got an apologist here. I say, well, if someone's asking me about objections to Matthew 16:18 based on the Greek language, sure, we're going to be all in. But when it's something like, This 14th century pope introduced what element to the liturgy?
Yeah, they weren't they weren't easy questions, and I'm afraid I may have permanently harmed my relationship with Tim Staples, because his table was next to me. I was the host. I was hosting it.
You were.
And we asked a question, and Trent, I'll see if you recall the answer to this, but just to give you an idea of some of the Catholic trivia we did over the weekend. Okay, so the question was, how many chief corporal works of mercy are there? And Tim Staples turns to me as the host and says, new catechism or old? And I didn't know.
That is such a Tim Staples question.
I had no clue. So I said, new, just to get Tim back to work. And turns out there are two different answers. One of them in the Trent, from the Council of Trent, which lists seven chief corporal works of mercy, and the catechism, which joins feeding the hungry and giving. I don't want to still argue about it. We argued so much on Saturday night.
Paragraph 2447 okay. says the corporal works of mercy consist especially in feeding the hungry, sheltering the homeless,
yes.
clothing the naked,
yeah.
visiting the sick and in prison,
uh-huh.
and burying the dead.
Uh-huh.
Among all these, giving alms to the hold on. If it stops there at the end of that sentence, that's five.
Yeah, but it doesn't stop there at the end of that
sentence. Well, it says, among all these, giving alms to the poor is one of the chief witnesses to fraternal charity.
Yeah.
It is also work of justice pleasing to God. So if you include giving alms to the poor being a distinct sixth corporal work, then it's, Tim said it was six based on the new catechism.
Right. So
traditionally, what my table answered is traditionally there are seven corporal works of mercy, just like there are seven spiritual works of mercy.
Yes.
And so a great debate broke out.
It wasn't so much a debate as about 10 minutes of abuse to the host from every single table, except for yours. Your table was not abusive to me at
Thank
all.
You.
Father Hugh Barber's table was incredibly abusive.
He was rallying the troops to his cause.
But I'll just let you know, Tim got his points. I gave him his points secretly. It was double secret points allocation. But Father Hugh Barber's table won all because of one question, and I will share it with the listener now.
All right. Let's see if you get it.
We're going to make this one a tease. We'll make this one a tease. All right. So we'll leave it out there for a little while. But this, of all the apologists, of all the Catholics who were with us when we played Catholic trivia, of all the theologians and historians who were there, only one, Father Hugh Barber, got this one correct. So you can play along at home. See if you know the answer to this.
Okay.
What item, article, does the Pope give to a city or a nation that has shown...
It was an ornament.
Oh, what ornament?
You said, what ornament?
Okay. All right. Whatever. All right. So, yes. I don't know that that's substantially different from what I just said, but this is the kind of arguments you get when you play trivia with apologists.
No, it's important. So, it's important so people know they can be here.
What the Pope gives to a city or country to recognize their loyalty.
Yeah.
Okay. And none of us knew, except for
Father Hugh.
Father Hugh Barber, who knows everything. You think Tim Staples knows everything, and other than this, I think he does know everything. But Father is uncanny the things that he knows.
So, listeners at home, without Googling this, try to think. Maybe after the break, we'll reveal the answer to you.
Yeah, after the first break,
does the Pope give to countries, to representatives of countries? An ornament he gives them to symbolize their fidelity, their loyalty to the faith.
All right. And I didn't expect to spend as much time as we have on this. Trent,
It
was still fun. And I want to see maybe people can test themselves. Only Hugh Barber, of all the bright lights that were there, got this. The number here is 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Trent is the author of many things, including the book Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue. And so today we offer you a pro-life open forum. We are joined in studio by the best students from Cathedral Catholic High School.
And very excited.
We know that they're the best because they're the pro-life.
They released the best at signing up first to be able to come there.
They're the best at signing up before the car was full.
Yes.
And so they're all here with us. Maybe we'll get some of them in here to ask questions. But your questions are welcome. 888-318-7884. Pro-life open forum today with Trent Horn. Let us go to Jasmine in Toronto. I believe that's Canada, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Thanks, Jasmine, for downloading the app onto your phone. Your question for Trent.
Hi, Trent.
Hi.
Hi. First, I want to say I'm a huge fan. I love Like, I watch all your, like, pro-life apologetics on YouTube, and yeah, you're really awesome.
Thank you. Trent. Sorry. I apologize.
Let's make sure to recognize Sai is awesome, too. You're very awesome for calling
really
in. You're very kind. Thank you. How can I help you?
I was wondering, so I actually kind of want to speak out as well. I find that people who are pro-choice are very loud about their opinions, and I feel like I need to be loud kind of about mine as well, being pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
So I see people all the time posting on Facebook and other social media about, like, pro-choice. They talk about bodily autonomy. They talk about how it's my choice, my body. I was wondering, like, should I reply to all of them? Like, what is the prudent thing to do? Because I've kind of just been firing off all of them lately, kind of giving them, like, logical arguments. But I don't know if that's, like, should I even comment on social media? Like, how should I go about that? How can I be pro-life on social media, I guess?
Yeah, what you have to do, this is a question of prudence, which is, we have scarce resources, so you have limited time. You also have limited patience and willpower. That's all of us. And we don't want to waste that on people on the internet who don't want to give us a fair hearing anyways. So I think what's important when we go to look at this, we should remember what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, do not give that which is holy to dogs. Do not throw pearls to swine, lest they turn and trample you underfoot. So if we have something that is good and is true, and we don't have a lot of time to share it with a lot of people, we should focus on those people who are going to be at least somewhat receptive to our message. And a lot of times on social media, I find people are much angrier and more intransigent, might be the word. They are ruder than they would be in normal life because they can't see you face to face. People will say things on social media they would never say directly to a person's face because the anonymity and impersonal nature of the internet makes it more likely that you want to treat someone in an impersonal way and then not hear what they're trying to say, that you just treat it as kind of a game to win. So I think what you could do in these situations is that when someone brings up one of these issues, posts on Twitter or Facebook, reply with a very short question to get them to think about the issue. So if somebody, for example, says, I believe a woman's right to choose, she can do whatever she wants with her body, you ask the question, hey, can a woman do anything she wants with her body if she's pregnant? Are you okay with her taking drugs or having a really, really late term abortion in order to donate the baby's body parts for money? You know, things like that. Or asking other questions, like if someone says we need abortion to empower women who are poor and who are impoverished, say, well, do you think it'd be okay for women to kill their 2-year-olds in order to get out of poverty? If the unborn's just like a 2-year-old, is it okay to kill them? And any kind of simple question you can think of. So including questions, good ones I can think of are, what do you mean by the term fetus? What is abortion? What do you mean by that? Are also very helpful questions. So asking just a few questions, and then so you don't get stuck in what's called a thread war or a flame war, you can just say, hey, I don't think social media is the most productive place to talk about this stuff. I just wanted to get you thinking. If you want, you can send them to a resource like a pro-life website to say you can get more information here. Or if you have it equipped on your social media page, you could say to them, hey, this isn't a great place to have a conversation, and I think people can get really heated when it's out in public like this. I'm happy to talk with you in a private message about this so we can have a better conversation. Then when you do that, you instantly turns the heat down when it's a private message, a private conversation over a public one. So that might be some kind of steps that I would take when using social media to spread not just a pro-life message, but anything about our faith. So is that at least a helpful start?
That's very helpful. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of those ways. I always see girls posting on Facebook, like, people, like, they're going to, they have to have their lives, they're going to drop out of school and this and that, maybe they're really poor, and it just bothers me so much because, like, I had a kid when I was 19,
yeah,
my first kid, and then I had my second kid when I was 23,
yeah,
from an abusive relationship, and I'm still in school. I'm 6 credits away from getting my honors, a bachelor's degree.
Amen to you.
I'm poor,
you are
not always delivered.
Jasmine, you are rich in everything that matters in this world. You are rich in kindness, moral courage, rich in the things that matter most and the things that pay off in eternity. So don't ever forget that. And I hope you will stay on the line because I very much enjoyed talking with you, very encouraged by you. I'd like to encourage you more. I will send you some copies of my new materials, and I don't care if it's in Canada. We will get it to you somehow, no matter what the Canadians want to charge us an arm and a leg. We'll get that to you. Please send us your address and we'll get you. Yeah, we'll get you Persuasive Pro-Life and maybe even Made This Way. I think that would be helpful for you. So stay on the line.
Oh, my gosh.
Maria.
I got Made This Way, but I've asked everyone for my Christmas present to get Persuasive Pro-Life. So thank you so much.
Well, we'll get you one.
Well, Merry Christmas. Yeah. Jasmine, thank you. It really is an encouraging call. Marie will get your information. That was a very encouraging call. What a fine person there in Toronto, Canada.
And it's just so unfortunate that people think, well, the worst things that can happen to you in this world, that the worst things that can happen to you are being in poverty, are being in a difficult life situation, are giving up a dream of some kind to give up something that you really want. But sometimes we can see things that are so much better for us, and we're not able to see it right now on this horizon, to give up what we thought was, you know, some really good end. To see an even better end ahead of us, that God can see it and we can't. But you never, some advice that I would always tell my children, especially as they get older, is you'll never regret doing the right thing. If you're ever in a jam, you know, you're never going to regret doing the right thing. A wise person also once said, sometimes we have to give up everything to do what is right, even our dreams. And that person was Peter Parker in Spider-Man 2, played by Tobey Maguire. But it's very true still. I'm sorry, but it's true.
It is very true. I just didn't know that it was going to turn out to be Peter Parker. I was like, who was that? Okay. It wasn't Gandhi? All right. We'll take a quick break. We're going to give you the answer to that trivia question when we come back. It's a pro-life open forum. So if you have questions that you'd like to ask of a pro-life nature, you don't have to be a pro-life person to call. You know, if you think we're nuts in this pro-life thing, you're welcome to call as well. It's an open forum. 888-318-7884 is the number. Right back after this.
This is Harry Connick Jr., and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
We do our best to keep you, well, connected to all the events happening in our one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, from Rome to back home here in the U.S. and around the globe. It's also our goal to help each and every listener like you take this beautiful faith of ours out into the public square with great ideas on making a difference through engaging the culture.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Tomorrow morning, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Talking about abortion can be scary, but so is anything with which you're unfamiliar. People need to learn how to talk about abortion in ways that inspire confidence in the truth of the pro-life position. We must talk about abortion because we are afraid. Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, is the new book by apologist Trent Horn that teaches you to face those fears, to engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue with the goal of persuading others. Field-tested on college campuses, Persuasive Pro-Life will help you to change people's hearts and minds and begin to build up a pro-life culture in today's world, one person, one conversation at a time. Order your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, today by calling 1-888-291-8000, going to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore in your area. Also available as an ebook.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Pro-Life Open Forum. Today, Trent Horn, our guest, and your call is welcome. Whether you are a pro-life person or not, it's Pro-Life Open Forum, and Open Forum means open. 888-318-7884 is the number. It says here a little more than 2 weeks till Christmas. Whoa. All right. So today and tomorrow only, we're offering free shipping in the continental U.S. on Why We're Catholic. So go ahead and order yours today. That's Trent's big book. It's not big like in – it's not like a huge book. I mean big book in that a lot of people have gotten their copy of it. All of our digital products, e-books, e-magazines, MP3s are 50% off all week long. And you can also save money on hundreds of other items in our shop. Just enter CA Live 18 at checkout when you visit shop.catholic.com to save 30% off hundreds of books, DVDs, CDs, and other stuffs in our online store. And I know stuffs is not plural. I'm just letting you know. 888-318-7884, the number. We did leave a question lingering in the air. This was the one that all the assembled theologians, apologists, and otherwise ardent Catholics assembled could not answer except for our chaplain, Father Hugh Barber, and that is, what emblem does the Pope give to cities or nations in appreciation for their loyalty? Let's go to Walt, because I'm told Walt believes he has the answer, and he's also got a pro-life question for you, Trent. So, Walt,
2-for-1.
Walt, are you there with us?
I am.
Do you really believe you know the answer to this?
I think I do. I'll give it a shot.
All right, go ahead. Give it
it's
a shot.
A golden rose.
Oh, my gosh. Trent needed you Saturday night, man. Where were you?
Would have been so helpful. All
that's
the tables.
Amazing that you know that. Good for you, Walt. We should send Walt a prize. Walt, how would you like a free copy of Jimmy Akin's brand new book, Teaching with Authority, How to Cut Through Doctrinal Confusion and Understand What the Church Really Says? Would you like a free copy of that, Walt?
That would be awesome.
All right.
I would love it.
We'll have to get your address.
Thank you.
Before you go, hang on, and we'll get your address. But your pro-life question for Trent.
Okay, Trent, so I'm 59 years old. I've been involved in pro-life since 1985. Been going to the March for Life since 1982. And it just seems like the majority of the people in the Catholic Church, and especially clerics, are kind of numb to the whole thing that there's mass murder going on.
Yeah.
It boggles my mind. How is it that people can be so numb to such an evil?
The psychologist Paul Slovic actually has an answer for this, Walt. He wrote an article about this that the title quotes Mother Teresa's dictum that if I look at the mass, I will never act. That we as human beings have a natural defense mechanism to numb ourselves to large-scale levels of violence. That when we're exposed to continual reports of violence, I mean, just imagine, you know, when you were a child and you first found out about what abortion was, or when you were a child, you first found out about serial killers. You know, the first time you ever heard the idea of a serial killer, you probably were filled with like pins and needles and fear, and adrenaline surged a little bit. But then now we hear about serial killers on the news. You're like, oh, geez, that's really sad. Or, oh, watch out, you know, when you go to your car at night. We don't get that same visceral response. Because if we did, imagine if the amount of sheer amount of evils that you were faced with in the world, we developed this numbing technique so that they don't – if we respond to them with the full emotional response they deserve and that we have the first time we hear about them, we just couldn't function in the world. I mean, we would just be kind of curled up, no pun intended, in the fetal position, crying and upset, and it would just be black and horrible. Now, with that said, that does not mean that we should indulge the opposite extreme of being completely apathetic and not caring and not thinking that it's a big deal. Instead, we should take stock of this kind of numbing we naturally do to protect our rational sense so we're not completely depressed. We should take stock of it. And then give a mental check, like, you know, saying, okay, this week, what did I do? Like, you know, you set an alarm on your phone once a week. What did I do this week to help the unborn? What did I do? One thing. I go pray at an abortion facility, even for 10 minutes. Did I share a pro-life message on Facebook? Did I ask someone about abortion when it came up naturally in conversation? So I think that's something we can do so that we should understand that this kind of numbing that we have, and this is something, Si, that happens in all different fields. I mean, people who are accustomed to, even pro-life advocates, it happens to them. You know, you develop this kind of even black sense of humor. As you see, like, among police officers, morticians.
Yeah,
people right. who are confronted by death on a daily basis have to kind of numb themselves to it so they can function. We all do, but that can easily give way to becoming apathetic. So we have to just kind of resolve to have a mental check against ourselves so we don't fall into apathy, but to use that for good so that we don't become so depressed we just throw up our hands and we don't do anything anymore. So that's why I think people become numb and they tolerate these things. The other reason is they just don't see it. When you don't see it, when abortion is just an abstract idea,
yep,
it just becomes an abstract thing. So every now and then it can be helpful to review, such as seeing online at a website that has authentic graphic images of abortion, to see what this really is. A great reality check I had, even for me, I mean, I can fall into this numbing, was, you know, a month or so ago, around before Halloween, I went and saw Gosnell, the movie about Kermit Gosnell, America's most prolific serial killer, killing hundreds, if not thousands, of babies, including those who were born alive. And there, like, that movie, in a unique and different way, reignited that feeling I have that this is awful and something needs to be done. So just every now and then, you need to do a mental check and get a reality check. That's something I would recommend to people when it comes to this issue.
Walt, congratulations for getting the question right. You're one of the two greatest theologians on earth now. So maybe we can get a plaque made up for you that says that. But hang on, we're going to send you a free book. Walt in Pennsylvania. Again, 888-318-7884. The number, it's a pro-life open forum. We've got Trent Horn here taking your calls. I just wish we had a really a brilliant pro-life student nearby who could ask a question. There's one sitting right in front of that microphone. You're from Cathedral Catholic High School up the street from us here.
I am.
And your name is?
Emily Rotunda.
Hi, Emily. And you have a question for Trent?
I do. I am often told when I tell my peers that I'm pro-life that because I'm pro-life, I am anti-women, that I cannot be feminist. And those things to me seem to go so naturally together. And I was wondering how I could explain to them that those things do, in fact, go naturally together.
I think there's two ways I would do that. Number one, you could say if I'm a feminist, I should stand up for the rights of all women, no matter how old they are, right? Sure. Or no matter how young they are. So then if half of all children who are aborted are female, and in some countries, disproportionately most children who are aborted are female, like in China or India, if I'm a feminist, shouldn't I stand up for the rights of those unborn females? You can also say that, well, what does it mean to be a feminist? A feminist means that men and women have equal rights. If that's the case, if not just men and women, but all humans have equal rights, doesn't that apply to the unborn as well? That might be a way that I would point that out there. I have more on the answer when we come back after the break.
All right, Emily, thanks for being here. Just when we're looking for a brilliant pro-life student, one shows up. Pro-life open forum is our topic today. Trent Horn, our guest. More with Emily right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Christmas is coming, and with Advent already upon us, we want to make sure you know about our annual Christmas sale with hundreds of great faith-building resources all on sale at 20% off when you enter promo code CALIVE18 at checkout. With great new resources by Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, Christopher Check, and other great Catholic teachers, there's simply no better time to stock up on resources to build up your faith and the faith of those around you. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to shop.catholic.com right now to take advantage of what is truly the best Catholic sale on the internet, going on now through the end of the year. And remember, enter promo code CALIVE18 at checkout to save 20% on hundreds of great resources throughout the store.
Author Mark McNeil spent years in the Oneness Pentecostal movement, praying in its lively services, zealously spreading its unconventional teachings, and rejecting mainstream Christianity as misguided. Then he left it all behind. All in the Name is the story of a man who believed he was among an elite group of believers who followed the true faith when so many others had strayed. But an inquisitive mind, careful study, and the action of the Holy Spirit finally led Mark out of Oneness Pentecostalism and into the Catholic Church. This is an inspiring conversion story you won't want to miss. It's a faith strengthener for Catholics and an intriguing challenge to those who deny the doctrine of the Trinity. Order your copy of All in the Name today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
tomorrow on More to Life.
Spouse versus spouse. Marriage is never easy, but if marital conflict is getting you down, we've got your back. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and it is a pro-life open forum both hours today. If you're a pro-life person and you'd like to get a question in, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. If you're not a pro-life person, maybe you're willing to be convinced, or maybe you'd like to try to convince us to be more pro-choice, you are welcome to call as well, 888-318-7884. So Emily, a student from Cathedral Catholic, from the pro-life club there, said when she expresses her pro-life beliefs, she's often told, well, you're anti-feminist then, you're anti-woman.
I would say, how does that follow that a person is anti-woman by saying that abortion is wrong? There's lots of ways that I would challenge that by asking questions. I would say, number one, how does it follow by saying women should not do something that I'm anti-woman? That's like saying men shouldn't rape women doesn't make me anti-male. Just because I'm saying that men as a group should not do something, they shouldn't do something that hurts other people. So that's one point that I would say, how does it show that because I say women should not abort their children, that it's anti-woman? Yeah. In fact, I would say it's very pro-woman because it honors the sense of morality that women should possess, holds them to a particular moral standard. I would also point out that when people say, well, it's anti-feminist, if you're a feminist, then you'll be in favor of legal abortion. That hasn't been the case historically. That's only a relatively recent phenomena. When you go to the early suffragettes, the very first feminists who fought for the right to vote, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, other people during the time of Susan B. Anthony, Sarin Foster, who is the president of Feminists for Life, says that without known exception, these women were all opposed to abortion, that none of them supported abortion in any way, shape, or form, or trying to change laws to make abortion legal. For example, on their website, and I'd recommend that if you think, well, a feminist can't be pro-life, go to feministsforlife.org. Sarah Norton was a woman who challenged Cornell University to admit women. And she said she looked forward to a day, quote, when the right of the unborn to be born will not be denied or interfered with. So you could say that if I'm a real feminist, yeah, I'm like the very first feminists who believe that women should be treated equally with men, that that's a kind of feminism that we all can support. Now, modern feminism, instead of trying to say that men and women are equal but different, tries to argue that men and women are basically the same in order for them to be equal. So we have to treat them as if there's no real differences between men and women. And that leads to all kinds of absurdities that follow from that, rather than seeing there are differences between men and women, but men and women are different yet equal, and so they're complementary with one another. And to, you know, talk about authentic Catholic feminism as an alternative to that.
Emily, thank you very, very much for that question. Another brilliant pro-life student has come into the studio.
We have another. We got a whole crop of them here.
We got a crop of brilliant. I don't actually know their test scores. I'm just calling them brilliant. So I'm assuming they're brilliant people. Maria from Cathedral Catholic High School, thanks for being with us. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
And you have a question for Trent as well?
Yes. So in today's culture, it is very popular to be pro-choice. As a pro-life advocate, how can I speak to my generation? It's a sensitive topic, but it's still something that needs to be discussed. So what I want to know is how can I talk to my generation where doing whatever you want is very popular and it shouldn't be any of my business. So,
okay.
That's a good question, Maria. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. Mm-hmm. So in order to convince people of things, I find it helpful to find out what their treasure is, what do they value, what's important to them, mm-hmm. and then their heart will soon follow there. Just find out what value is important to them and connect the pro-life cause to that. So when people say, well, you know, and we should just be able to do what we want, you can say, well, you don't really believe that. Like, you know, if a guy really wants to have sexual relations with a girl, he shouldn't put stuff in her drink so she passes out. You know, they would say, well, yeah, that's, you know, and then rapes her, essentially. Mm-hmm. You would say, well, no, he can't do that. Well, why not? What's one reason you shouldn't do what you want? And they can say, well, you know, if what I want to do hurts another person. Mm-hmm. So we can find that common ground. And all in different examples, you know, we can agree, you know, you shouldn't hurt other people, even if you're trying to get what you want. And then once that is established, you can bring it back to the issue of abortion. So I think what's helpful when talking with peers or really with anybody else is to ask them questions about it, because they probably have an opinion about the issue.
Yeah.
So what's great is you might think, how am I going to reach my friends? Like, do I have to give them like a pro-life speech? You know, how am I, is it going to be awkward? Like, how do I do that? And you can just ask them, you know, so what do you think about abortion? And people like talking about themselves.
Yeah.
Where do you think? Do you think it should be legal through all 9 months? Do you think it should be legal for any reason? And then if they draw a line anywhere, like, well, not, maybe not all 9 months, or maybe not for any reason. Say, well, why do you draw the line there? Or what's wrong with that reason? Mm-hmm. Why not that? And so one, yeah, asking questions to have them talk about their view and then try to point out if it's inconsistent. They just, you know, draw a random line and without a reason, or they can't define, for example, what an unborn child is, or they have no idea when life begins. Mm-hmm. You can offer your, well, here's what I think about that. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And so what's nice is if you ask them a question first and they talk a bunch, then when you say, well, here's what I think, do you want to hear it? You kind of already bought the right to tell them that because you let them already talk a bunch.
Yeah.
So they've already, and they're like, oh, you know, I've been going on and on. Yeah, I guess, Maria, what do you think about this? And then it's better than you just kind of, you know, going really hard at them with it. So that would be asking questions. And then I think connecting values is the other important one. So finding values people care about. Equality is a big one today. Mm. People care a lot about equal rights. Mm. And they're very concerned about people who are oppressed or persecuted or marginalized, especially people who are weak or powerless or don't have a voice of their own. So if they share those sentiments, it's very easy to apply to the issue of abortion. So that might be some ways that I would go about it to help you talk with your friends about this issue. So is that helpful?
No, yeah, definitely.
Good. And then also, if you're on social media, sharing with them images and media that take abortion away from being just a word to being something they can wrap their heads around. Mm. So if someone's open to it, you could go to, I think abort73.com is another, or abortionno.org. You can show them actual images. Well, you know, this, the reason I'm against abortion, I got to be honest with you, it's obvious to me this is killing a little human being.
Yeah.
Can I show you that these are authentic pictures? This is what it is. If you, and you know, instead of, don't spring it on them, but say, you know, can I share these with you so you can see why I'm, so, you know, why I feel like I have to do something about this. Or like, now that stuff sometimes gets banned on Twitter and Facebook, so they might just shut it down. Yeah. You might have to email it. But you can also say, hey, the reason, you know, you could send them, here's a link to a description of an abortion, like at abort73.com. Or here is a video of an ultrasound or a video of a child in the womb, a animation. Mm-hmm. A good website that has that is the Endowment for Human Development. I think their website is ehd.org. So Endowment for Human Development, they got a lot of great just animation show. This is what a baby looks like in the first trimester. How can it be okay to directly kill this little human being? What do you think?
Yeah.
And so that can be another way to kind of give them a little wake-up call. But it's got to be done gently, but also assertively. So sound good?
Yes.
All right. Cool.
Thank you, Maria.
Thanks for all you guys are doing at the Pro-Life Club at Cathedral Catholic High School. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And keep it up. You're doing good work. Keep it up. Let's go back to a caller. Callers, thanks for being patient while we have these fine students here with us. Let's go to John in Cleveland, Ohio, watching on YouTube Live. Happy to have you with us, John. Your question for Trent.
Hi. Two questions, actually. So if a person is if I'm attached to somebody, does he have the right to take to have me on him for like 9 months?
Is that an argument that you've heard?
Yes, argument that I've heard from my people in my college.
Yeah, that's a derivative of Judith Jarvis Thompson's violinist argument. And to put it fancifully, imagine you woke up one morning and a violinist was connected to your kidneys and he needs them to stay alive. Do you have to stay plugged into him? Most people would say, no, you can unplug, even if in doing so, the violinist will die. And then people will say, well, if the fetus gets attached to a woman and she has to be plugged in, quote unquote, for 9 months to this child, shouldn't she be allowed to unplug as well if she doesn't want to be plugged in, quote unquote? And I would say, well, there's a lot of big differences there between these two cases, right? For example, why is the violinist plugged into me? no reason. It's just a random Twilight Zone kind of thing that happens. Why is a child inside of a mother's body? 99% of the time, 99% of the time, it is because a man and woman engaged in an act that they know will create a little tiny baby. So if we say that men should be financially responsible for the children that they conceive, if men are responsible for the children they conceive, and if, even if they don't want them anymore, they still have to pay child support, shouldn't women be held to a similar responsibility towards the children that they conceive? Well, it may not be similar. Men are financially ordered to care for these children. Women are biologically or naturally ordered. They're using an organ in their body designed for this purpose. That's another big difference. You can say, wait a minute, does this violinist have a right to use my kidneys? My kidneys are made for me. They're made for my body. But who is the uterus for? For whom is the uterus designed? Doesn't a child have a natural right to this organ to be able to sustain their life? Finally, I would give one last difference. When I unplug from the violinist, what kills him? I'm not killing him. I'm just refusing to save his life. He was already dying of some kidney ailment. But in abortion, it's not like you're failing to save a child's life. The child is perfectly healthy. They're exactly where they're supposed to belong in that stage of their development. Abortion does not fail to save them. It actively kills them. So it would be more like if – I'm sorry to do this to you, Cy. It would be more like if I was – if I was part of some weird prank society and we went out one night and I had a ton of fun and they told me, by the way, Trent, there's like a 25% chance we might – Cy Kellett's going to be plugged into you and, you know, he's going to need – you know, he's going to need your kidneys to live. And then I'm like, oh, whatever. I still want to have fun. What are the odds that'll happen? Then I wake up and Cy is plugged into me. And I'm like, oh, man, I knew that might happen. Cy needs my body now for 9 months. Oh, he doesn't have a right to my body. And then I unplug you from me because you have no right to my body.
Mm.
That way, you would probably be not happy about that, right?
I would be bummed. And my feelings would be hurt, too.
Yeah, well, you would be dead.
I would also be dead.
You would also be dead.
Well, but it takes a little time. Kidney failure takes a little
time. Yeah, so you'd be like, Trent, what are you doing?
I have time to have my feelings hurt.
Because I'm the reason you're in this predicament. So I kind of, I owe you responsibility here.
Yeah.
I owe you care.
Right.
And this is the same in near 99% of pregnancies. Even in those that are not voluntary, we still have the case of a mother and child, and we have the one organ that can sustain the child's life. Similar to a mother who's trapped with her newborn in a snowed-in cabin and might have to only use her breast milk to keep the child alive. Parents have special obligations to their children. So I know that was a longer answer. I cover a lot of that in my book, Persuasive Pro-Life. John, is that a good start, at least on that bodily autonomy argument?
Well, I actually told them that thing. I actually became way more pro-life. I used to be pro-choice and became more pro-life after listening to you.
Okay.
And they answered me saying to me that there's a difference because the embryo is just a clump of cells. It's just like it doesn't even have a heartbeat if you get it early enough. That's what they tell me.
Okay, well, sure. And that's a separate issue. Because the bodily autonomy argument assumes that what a woman is pregnant with is a human being, just like I'm plugged into Cy Kellett. But yeah, if I happen to be plugged into a mannequin that just happened to look like Cy Kellett at the Cy Kellett Catholic Answers
Radio
host store.
As many of your handsomer mannequins do.
Right.
You'll find.
Your
portly mannequins.
If you find a certain... At the wider Gap store, they have the more psychedelic.
Big Gap.
So,
yeah, okay.
So we could go on and on. That if I was plugged into a mannequin that looked like psychedelic, I could unplug any time because that's not a human being.
Right.
So you're right. If the unborn is not a human being, you don't even need the bodily autonomy argument. Whatever. It's not a human being. So I would respond to them by saying, look, what is an embryo? What do the terms embryo and fetus refer to? That if you look them up, they refer to the stages of development in the life of a human being. By just saying, well, you know, an embryo is just a clump of cells. Well, why does that matter? Cy Kellett and I are a clump of cells. Just because something is a clump of cells, that's what it is. It doesn't tell you whether it's valuable or not or has rights or not. All human beings are technically clumps of cells. The question is, is this clump of cells a biological human being or not? And as I show in my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, the evidence is clear and unequivocal that an unborn human being, embryo or fetus, is a biological human being. So they have the same basic rights you and I possess. So, definitely feel free to call back if you want more on that or check out my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, to deal with the rebuttals your friends might be giving you.
Thanks, John. Thanks very, very much for that call. I feel like that thing that John's friends did, they said, well, the mother has bodily autonomy and therefore she doesn't have to carry the baby. And then he answered that, and then they came up with the big, well, but it's not really a baby. It's not really a human being. I feel like that's the thing that I call lily padding.
You call it that.
I call it lily padding, right, where you're on one thing and you're losing that argument, mm-hmm, so you jump over like a frog.
That is a really good turn to make it memorable. I've got to know, Cy, where did you come up with it?
It could be either I thought of it myself or I just remember it from like the 20 times I've heard you say it.
Okay.
It could be either one of those two. One of those two things.
Yeah. At Founders Weekend, for example, I presented that to our supporters that, yes, that's a great example. So someone will give an argument, you refute it, then they just throw out another argument. Instead of saying, wait, will you admit then that this argument doesn't work anymore?
Right.
You've got to abandon this argument now. That's why you're kind of fleeing from it.
Yeah.
So it's important to bring that up in our conversations and not let the other person kind of jump around so that you can't have a productive conversation.
Pro-Life Open Forum, Trent Horn, our guest both hours today. Our phone number, 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. If you like what you hear on Catholic Answers, well, we hope you do. We really want you to be a member of Radio Club, and it doesn't cost you anything, and we're not trying to get anything out of you, and we're not going to boss you around or do anything weird. We just want you to be a member of Radio Club, and so to help encourage you to become a member of Radio Club, we're joined now by Assistant Producer Marie. Hi, Assistant Producer Marie.
Hello.
You feeling better?
Yeah, I am. Good. I am feeling better. So we're actually offering something from Trent right now. If you join Radio Club.
Is it the disaster one?
It is the disaster one.
So nice.
Trent and Cy sat down and had a really interesting conversation about how to survive disasters. Not all, but they covered a few of the main ones. I think fire was one of them. Anyway,
earthquakes, I believe, too. Mm-hmm.
It's an exclusive MP3 that you can only get if you join Radio Club or if you subscribe to Council of Trent and become a Patreon subscriber. Is that what it is?
Right. So either at Trent Horn Podcast, if you're a subscriber there, you can locate it, or
just join Radio Club.
Join Radio Club, which is probably the easiest way to get a hold of it. But yeah. Either one.
So how do you join Radio Club,
so
Assistant Producer Marie?
You're going to text CA Live, all one word, to 44222, and you will send back your email and have the MP3 sent to your inbox.
And every week you're going to get something from us. I try to write a letter every week. Sometimes you write something and sometimes other people do. You're going to get connections to some of the best stuff that goes on here at Catholic Answers. Some of it is exclusive content that nobody's getting except Radio Club members. Like this interview that actually sort of astonished me with Trent Horn, that he knows every way to be prepared.
I mean, you can choose to not subscribe to Radio Club in the face of this offer, but you do so at your own peril.
At your own risk, right? You might not be prepared.
So text CA Live to 44222 and join us over at Radio Club.
Text CA Live to 44222 and you will become a member of Radio Club.
Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
What makes me happy is listening to Catholic radio. I'm by myself a lot, had a concussion as a child, and I can't see very well, but I do work, I go to church, and I'm an on-fire convert, and as a child, more or less, I've learned to have a good sense of humor whenever I can, and I'm very appreciative of everything I have, and especially Catholic radio.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn, our guest. It's a pro-life open forum. If you're a pro-life person, if you're not a pro-life person, but you've got questions in that area, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We go now to Matt in Marshall, Minnesota, watching on Facebook Live. Matt, thanks so much for being with us. Your question for Trent.
Hey there. I think as time goes further, the euthanasia debate will only ramp up and get more and more intense.
Right.
Easy to argue that babies shouldn't be killed in the womb, but right. I think it's going to be a lot harder to argue that suicidal people who, through their own free will, want to be assisted with suicide. I think a lot of people are going to buy those arguments. And how should we tackle that in a quick, pithy way that's not forever online, if that makes sense?
Yeah.
I understand. So I think what can be helpful when talking about euthanasia or assisted suicide, because you're right, a lot of people say, well, I get you shouldn't be allowed to kill the unborn. They're an innocent person. But shouldn't an innocent person basically be allowed to kill themselves? Or shouldn't we kill people who are in tremendous pain or at the end of their lives? And people are motivated here more by compassion or a misplaced sense of compassion than by a correct thinking about this issue, but thinking logically through. That is ultimately the most compassionate way to approach this issue, because compassion means to suffer with someone, not to kill somebody so that they don't suffer, you don't have to suffer alongside with them. True compassion means suffering alongside someone to bear their suffering and being with them in their time of need. So I think the pithiest way would be to ask someone who supports euthanasia or assisted suicide, where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line and say, let's just take physician-assisted suicide, for example. Where do you draw the line and say doctors can help this person to end their own life, but not this person? And by doing so, you'll show that their views are inconsistent, because there's really only two consistent views. Either we respect all human life equally, and so we protect human life from threatening even itself, or we let anybody do whatever they want and we don't value human life that much. But most people you talk to, even people that are in favor of assisted suicide or euthanasia, they'll usually bring up cases like cancer patients, the terminally ill, someone who only has a short amount of time to live who is in insufferable pain. But then you ask, well, why? Why should these people be allowed to end their own lives? And they'll say, well, they're suffering. You could say, okay, but what about someone who is in a wheelchair? What about someone who's quadriplegic? They're not dying, but they may experience a lot of depression and be suffering. Or someone who is, you could draw the line, go back another step. Say, what about someone with severe emotional distress? Someone whose wife and children were murdered, for example, and they don't want to live anymore. In most cases, people will have an intuition on the far end of the spectrum that, you know, a guy who goes up to a bridge to jump because his girlfriend broke up with him will say, don't do that. Don't. We forcibly drag him off the bridge because we want to protect his life even from himself. So you can say to someone, look, if you think assisted suicide or euthanasia is okay, then you're drawing a line in the human community and saying, some people, we say your life matters, so we're not going to let you hurt yourself. But other people, like the terminally ill, the disabled, your life doesn't really matter as much, so we're not going to help you not hurt yourself. And you can say in response, I don't believe in drawing that line. I'm going to say all lives equally matter, and we're not going to let anyone ever devalue themselves or hurt themselves in this way, because I think all human beings should be treated equally in that respect. So you can ground it in an argument from human rights and equality by asking the person, where do they draw the line on who can kill themselves and who can't? That's one way that I find to be helpful when talking about this issue, at least for a starter, and then maybe a few other points I would throw in. But what do you think of that approach?
Yeah, that's helpful. I just think it's going to be so hard because a lot of people don't even distinct humans from animals.
Yeah,
because we're so nihilistic these days. And I just think they're going to argue, well, so what? If they want to, or you know what I mean? There's no inherent dignity to human life because they're just highly developed animals. And that's kind of a nihilistic atheist point of view. But I just can see that being more and more of a argument in the future.
I agree with you. And that's why we have to continue to show people that human life is valuable, no matter its cognitive functions, no matter its physical ability. And to say, just to point out the irony here, is that you want humans, you think humans and animals are equal, or in the sense that humans are just another kind of animal, yet you expect humans to act in very unanimal ways. Because in the animal kingdom, if you have a member of your kin or your clan that is defective, that is sick or dying, you either leave them out to expose them, or you just kill them, or you eat them. I mean, there's a fair number of animals that kill their own young or eat their own young. I never understand this glorification of animals. Maybe somebody watched Homeward Bound one too many times. Like, oh, I love animals. They're so much better than people. Yeah, animals like dogs and cats, maybe not cats, animals like friendly dogs are better than crummy people. But I'm sorry, they're not better than virtuous people. They just aren't. And you could take that to the bank. And so you could show them, look, you glorify animals and downgrade humans. You say we're just like another kind of animal. But then you expect humans to be compassionate, empathetic, to go to extreme lengths to save the lives of other humans when other animals simply wouldn't care or think of it. It kind of reminds me, I remember when my parents had a cat and the cat had a kitten and that cat grew up and the older cat now hated this younger cat coming around everywhere. She just had no concept that this was her son.
Mm-hmm.
No concept at all. This was just an interloper. Someone who was going after the kibble bowl.
Yeah.
There's complete resent here. You know, and if that cat were to have another cat, the first cat would not have a concept of grandchildren, a concept of raising up a next generation. So, yeah, that one just drives me up the wall that people try to create a false equivalency from humans and animals, but expecting humans to act in very unanimal-like ways, and that shows humans are valuable, important, and should be treated not like other animals.
Matt's right, though. We got our work cut out for us to make those arguments in the coming years.
And we will keep doing it.
I forgive you because you have never met my dog, Marty, for saying that people are better than animals. But if you knew Marty, you might not agree with that.
I'm sure whatever goodness is in Marty is a reflection of your goodness side.
Oh, well, okay, I guess I have to accept that. Hey, if you're on the line, stay on the line. We're going to get back to you. If you haven't dialed yet and you'd like to get in on this pro-life open forum, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. More with Trent Horn on Catholic Answers Live right after this. Sorry, Marty, if you're listening.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.